Well, I know I'm a little in advance, but happy Mother's Day to those mothers out there, since I won't probably see most of you tomorrow. What a wonderful day of celebrating the great gift that you are and all the gifts that you have brought to us through your children and grandchildren and great-grandchildren, perhaps some of you here today. As mentioned earlier, this is also Good Shepherd Sunday, which is a beautiful gift to us as well. And our wonderful shepherd, Jesus, of course, we're talking about, gives words of great comfort in today's gospel passage. Speaking about us, his sheep, he declares, "I give them eternal life, and they shall never perish. No one can take them out of my hand." This is good stuff, great stuff, wonderful stuff. But since he and the Father are one, that's why it happens. Since he and the Father are one, and since the Father is greater than all, we heard, then he shares the same divine power with the Father. And therefore, no one can take the sheep away from him. They can't take them away from the Father. They can't take them away from the Son either. They are one. However, there is actually one person who can get in the way. That's you and me. On a personal level, God never forces himself upon us. We have to welcome him. And so we can frustrate his grace. We can get in the way. That's the only way we can prevent him. That's the only way we can become lost sheep. So if you say no to the Lord, then you will drift away from the flock and endanger the eternal welfare of your soul. Jesus says, "My sheep hear my voice. I know them, and they follow me." Without a doubt, he knows you. He created you, right? But do you do your part? That's the question. There's no question that he knows you. Do you truly listen to his voice and follow wherever he calls you? Or do you run away from him when things get difficult? Paul and Barnabas certainly don't run away from Christ in today's first reading, but many of the Jews around them do. Notice there's a dynamic here that we're supposed to pay heed to. When these great disciples, these apostles, when they share the good news and the whole city of Antioch rallies around them, in 1 week, everybody gets all fired up. The Jews, what do? They turn away from Christ's saving grace and instead welcome jealousy into their hearts, which eats away at their hearts and souls and leads them to persecute Christ instead of embracing him. Yet Paul and Barnabas aren't fazed a bit. They speak out boldly, acknowledging their duty to proclaim the good news to the Jews first, and then move on to the Gentiles now that the Jews have rejected the truth and condemned themselves as unworthy of eternal life. Ouch. They've condemned themselves. Not good, right? Not good. The Gentiles, on the other hand, respond joyfully. They're embracing the Lord. And this is great news, all right? So they respond joyfully and come to believe as the good news continues to spread rapidly. But sadly, the Jews only sink further down into their misery and stir up enough people to drive away Paul and Barnabas, who kind of hilariously shake the dust off their sandals and walk away. But notice they're filled with joy and the Holy Spirit. So there's an irony here. The Jews think they've done something great. They're probably giving high fives, but in reality, they're miserable. Paul and Barnabas shake the dust off and say, "All right, we're going to keep preaching the news, the good news. They're full of peace and joy." Notice the difference. It's beautiful. The second reading also provides great examples for us to follow. Examples of the cross leading the way to glory. That's the only way. It's an inconvenient truth for us oftentimes, but that's the only way. John has this vision, and so he sees an immense multitude from every nation, race, people, and tongue standing before the throne and before the Lamb, wearing white robes and holding palm branches in their hands. Can't help but make us think of our young ones here. Most of them are wearing white, right? They don't have the palm branches, but certainly have the beauty of the white, the purity. They just came from confession. The palm branches remind us, of course, of the triumphal entry of the Lamb of God into Jerusalem. When everybody's waving palm branches, putting them on the ground. Remember that? Right when he enters in, right on Palm Sunday. we acknowledge that. So that's what happens in that particular moment in time. Well, in this case, these people holding palm branches, this multitude welcomes the Lamb eternally into their hearts. At that one point in time, welcoming into Jerusalem, now eternally into their hearts. This is going on in the beauty of heaven, this vision that John has. But they don't do this naively. Notice, there's more information given. These are the ones who have survived the time of great distress. They have washed their robes and made them white in the blood of the Lamb. They didn't go down to JCPenney's and go and buy a white robe, right? This was washed. They survived the time of great distress. They hung in there with the Lord. They stuck with the Lamb through thick and thin, recognizing that He shepherds those who suffer for Him, leading them to the springs of life-giving water and wiping away every tear from their eyes. They've acknowledged that. They've hung in there with Him. And this is the beautiful reward, the heavenly reward. Indeed, this Lamb that was slain, the Good Shepherd who has laid down His life for His sheep, brings about new life and amazing, often unexpected blessings from the suffering of His flock. And all of this is possible because of His own suffering. Because of His own suffering. Ultimately, He brings all of His sheep together into His loving embrace through His suffering, through His blood. That's how it happens. He doesn't stand back from afar. It's not a spectator thing for Him. He's deeply involved. He provides the answer to our suffering, and we can't help but catch the Eucharistic imagery here, Him drawing us together, His blood. All these are symbolic of the eternal Eucharistic feast in heaven, but we partake in it right now in the Holy Mass. And now all of this comes in pretty handy since we're celebrating First Holy Communion this weekend, right? And what a great blessing for all of these children to be making this huge step forward in their relationship with God. I talked to them about this before their first confessions and how it's very exciting for them, of course. They're pumped up, but it's super exciting for God too. He's overjoyed. It's so beautiful for Him to see these young ones growing closer to Him, not only in confession, but in the Eucharist. Massive step that you're making in your lives, little ones. Each of you is such a precious gift to Him, and He yearns to grow in relationship with you. So enjoy this marvelous moment. It truly is a very, very marvelous moment in your lives. But, I mentioned this too the other day. Don't let this be your first and last communion or your first and last confession. No, these sacraments are the bread and butter of Catholic life, the very center of who we are and what we're all about, the keys to true happiness. They're not out here on the side. They're right in the center. Therefore, come to Mass every Sunday and on holy days. Ask your parents to bring you. Say, I want to come to Mass. I want to receive the Lord. And go to confession regularly too. Ask your parents to bring you to receive this grace, to receive this goodness from the Lord. Friends, Christian life is all about trusting in Jesus and getting out of the way. Getting out of the way. So often we frustrate His grace. Even when we have good intentions, we get in the way and we don't let Him come into our hearts. So trust in Him, get out of the way. Let Him do the work that only He can do. And thankfully, He's always there when you to welcome you back with His mercy when you do go astray, when you do wander off. But as we established earlier, you must welcome Him. You must welcome Him and not run away when difficulties arise. And they will. Following Him is not an easy task. We're in a moment of great joy right now, but there's going to be struggles. He's going to call you to do things that are not easy in your life, but that are wonderful and beautiful. Be confident and unafraid, like Paul, Barnabas, and the great multitude. Respond to adversity with praise and thanksgiving, never taking your eyes off of Jesus, the Lamb who was slain for you, no matter what life throws at you. Brothers and sisters, we're going to conclude the homily today by looking at the prayer over the offerings. You're going to hear it in just a minute when we get into the Eucharistic prayer. And so I offer it to you for reflection and invite you to make this prayer your own. Grant, we pray, O Lord, that we may always find delight in these Paschal mysteries, so that the renewal constantly at work within us may be the cause of our unending joy. Jesús dio su vida por sus ovejas y trajo nueva vida y abundantes bendiciones a través de su propio sufrimiento. Él reúne a todas sus ovejas bajo su brazo amoroso. Él es la respuesta a nuestro sufrimiento. Esto es muy útil ya que estamos celebrando las primeras comuniones este fin de semana. Qué gran bendición para estos niños estar dando este gran paso adelante en su relación con Dios. Muy emocionante. Dios también está emocionado, está lleno de alegría. Cada uno de ustedes es un regalo precioso para Él y Él anhela tener en relación con ustedes. Así que disfruta de este maravilloso momento. Pero no dejes que esta tu primera y última comunión o confesión. Estos sacramentos son el pan y la mantequilla de la vida católica, las claves de la verdadera felicidad. Por lo tanto, vengan a misa todos los domingos y días festivos. Pídele a tus padres que te traigan. Ve a confesarte regularmente también. Trae a tus padres.